We're going to continue this series. Well, it's not a series. We're just looking at Psalms 23. The subject, the title of our conversation today is the same as last week. You can write this down if you're taking notes. It's simply this: how are you doing? How are you doing? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, how are you doing? Turn to your other neighbor that you just ignored and say, how are you doing? If you'd like a subtitle, a second title, I'll always have one for you. It was this, but I changed it this morning. It was Nightlight. So don't write that down. I changed it this morning to this: even though. We're going to read Psalms 23, then we're going to pray in a moment. Before I read it, I want to remind everybody in this room, especially if you're new, God is so glad that you're here. When God looks at you in his house today, friend, he smiles. And no matter who you are, this is the Bible, where you come from today. God wants to meet with you. We're in his house. Does anybody want to hear from heaven today? Hear from the word of God. So we're going to do Psalms 23. King David writes, looking back over the testimony of his crazy life. Psalm 23 says this. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Man, that convicts me. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. I wonder, how is your soul today? He guides me along the right paths, not the easy paths. The right paths for his name's sakes, to give him glory. Verse 4. David changes his pace a little bit. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Today, I don't preach from a natural gifting, I preach from the oil of heaven. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me. I wonder what's following you today. All the days of my life, not some of the days, all the days of my life, and I will dwell, I'm so thankful for this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, this word is important, forever. Church, before we pray, I'm not going to summarize last week's verses 1 and 2. If you missed last week, I know that none of us ever miss church. Can I get an amen? But if you missed last week, especially if you struggle with anxiety, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it online. But what I will do today is reemphasize the contextual power of the book of Psalms. Because what I love about this scripture we're reading today, what I love about the book of Psalms is it gives us the brutal honesty of humanity. The Psalms is full of prayers and declarations of God. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this day. It's full of cries of God, where are you? It's full of poems of desperation and songs of God's goodness in the middle of profound darkness. Church, I want to remind us today, no matter who you are, that you will find your story articulated in the book of Psalms. And I want to say this again, Psalms 23, God's word reminds us that scripture changes us. David's prayer, Psalm 23, is a prayer that we can pray that changes us. This book I preach from today, it is the holy, alive, active word of God. And it changes us. This gospel does not make bad people good. It makes dead people alive. Does anybody in this room know and can testify what it was to be dead in your sin, but you were made alive in Christ? This gospel gives me a new heart. Every time I read the Word of God, every time I read Psalms 23, it can bring hope in the darkest of spaces. It can lift the weariest of souls, and it even ushers in comfort when a human heart faces the door of death itself. And as David reflects on his life, the faithfulness of God in his own sin, of his own trouble, some of this trouble was his own doing, and some of this trouble was the evil doing of others against him. David said this last week, and we'll say it again. David considers the goodness of God that he worships. This is a psalm of gratitude. May we today, church, again, just sit here for a moment and consider the goodness of God. I wonder, how thankful are we for the gospel? Think about that. How thankful are we? How thankful are we for the gospel? How long does it take before we leave this service? How many days does it take before we forget? If not for the grace of God, where would I be? May we consider, as a church family again, the goodness of God. Why don't we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness that leads us to repentance. Thank you that it is in you we find life. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you know every human heart that is in this room. You know everything about us. And you meet us here. And so as your church family, we come before you in humility and we acknowledge we need you. Jesus, we need you. We are hungry for more of you. We want the truth of your word that can change us by your grace in faith. Holy Spirit of God, I pray personally, as I prayed earlier this morning on my knees, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I ask for your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. I cannot do this without you. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jacob. Everybody give it up for Jacob. Also, shout out, I don't know if you noticed, but over here, he's gone now because the whole band left, but Axel was playing the keys this morning. He's a high school student. It was his first time playing the keys this morning. I think that's awesome. I don't know if you've ever been embarrassed. I remember one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, there's many of them, was when I was courting Brooke. And when I say courting Brooke, I mean I was just trying to get her to notice me. And at this time of my life, I think I was 20, 21, 19 years old, and I was a bus driver for our youth ministry. I had a CDL. A youth pastor asked me to get a CDL, so I said to her, here I am, send me, and I got my CDL. And by the way, if you've ever driven a church bus for church, there is a special place in heaven for you. And so every week I would drive the bus. There was many buses that we would go and pick up young people and bring them to youth, bring them to our Royal Youth Service. And the buses, they had bus leaders on them because young people are crazy. And Brooke was a bus leader, but the problem and the predicament that I found myself in is that Brooke was not assigned to my bus. And so I went to our youth pastor and desperately plead with him, can you please assign Brooke to my bus? I said, Josh, why? I said, because I love her. I said, Josh, you barely know. I said, I know, but I love her. And I don't know, I still don't know if it was my youth pastor or just the Lord's perfect timing. I remember this week where Brooke was assigned as a bus leader to my bus. And so we, you know, after youth, we took the young people, we dropped them off. And then I had 10, 15 precious moments to just talk to Brooke on the way home. I didn't do much effective talking because I was so scared and I was so nervous. And I remember we pulled into the church parking lot. I started driving as slow as I possibly could so I could soak up these precious moments. We finally get to Brooke's car. You can ask her, it's a true story. We get to Brooke's car and it's time to say goodbye. And for anybody who's driven a bus, y'all don't know the struggle. Back in the day, like today, bus drivers press a button and the door opens. Back when I drove a bus, you had to reach forward. And for me, it was a long reach forward and open the door. It was not easy to open that door. And so I reached forward and opened the door, and Brooke is making her way off the bus. She goes, okay, Josh, see you later. And so it was my time to respond and say goodbye. And all my brain came up with was cool beans. Cool beans. Brooke was like, oh, okay. Walked off the bus and I closed the door in shame. I was so embarrassed. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I called her 15 minutes later to apologize. I was like, hey, just wanted to, hey, I picked the phone. Hey, babe, did you just call me babe? Sorry, I'm just prophesying for the future. So I just want to apologize about what I said earlier. She says, what do you mean? I said, well, when I said cool beans earlier, that's not me. Just the things that my brain made up in sheer panic because I was not yet confident or at ease to talk with Brooke. And many of us are the same when we talk to God. For example, if I were to ask you to come up onto this stage today and pray for this service, how would you feel? The good news is I'm not going to do that today. Church, prayer is not a public speaking gift. It is a reflection of our proximity to Jesus, of time and an honest heart before God in the secret place. When I pray in public, it is a reflection of my time in private talking to God. And you can look at a preacher and say, man, he's so good at praying. It's not a gift. I just talk to God every day. I recognize his voice and I recognize his prompting. And so I am comfortably in awe talking to God. Now, after 13 years married, almost 13, I'm really good at talking to Brooke. I can identify her voice in a crowd. I know her laugh. Brooke has been on this kick recently where she hides in our house and she scares me. And she does this for a couple of reasons. One, because if I get scared easy, if you scare me, you're going to get a good reaction. I scream, my body convulses. And it has produced some of the deepest laughter in my wife. I know her laugh. I'm good and I'm getting better at talking with Brooke because we talk every day. I know her words. I know her heart. I know her tone. I know when her tone means, Josh, that was funny. And I also know when her tone means, don't ever do that again. If you were to ask me to talk with Brooke today, it's natural because it's my favorite thing to do. If you were to ask me to talk to God, it's natural because it's my favorite thing to do. Wasn't always this way. I remember being in middle school and high school and being at Royal Youth, and we'd have these leaders meetings before the service, and I was at these leaders meetings even though I wasn't a leader because I'm a pastor's kid, so I had no choice to be in these leaders meetings. And I remember in these leaders meetings before the service, the youth pastor would get up and ask people to pray. And I knew that the youth pastor was going to do this. And every time that happened, I would just hide behind somebody, which is easy for me because I'm a small human being. I would hide in fear. So you better not pick me to pray. Church, maybe prayer is a part of your life. Maybe you are uncomfortable talking to God. Maybe you don't know where to start talking to God. Maybe your prayer life, if we're being honest today, has grown cold. Maybe you've never talked to God. I've got good news today. God wants to talk to you. And Psalms 23 is this moment of prayer of King David talking to God. And this psalm, it can speak through and for us today. David was not just a warrior. He was a warrior. But understand, David was also a prayer warrior. We see the honesty and the authentic ability to talk to God in Psalms 23. If you need help with prayer today, Psalms 23 is for you. And my challenge for us today as a church family is this week, every day, pray Psalm 23. What do I mean? Let me show you. This is a prayer that David can speak for us and through us. And I want to show you how I would pray through the Lord's Prayer or through Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. In your quiet time this week, read Psalm 23 and pray, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I would pray like I did this week, God, you were not always my shepherd. I pray that you are my shepherd today. And I thank you that you want to be my shepherd. And I just sit in this moment and I try to comprehend how great it is that you want to lead me. And this word, Lord, it means Yahweh, which means you're my deliverer, which means you're sovereign, which means you care for me, which means you laid your life down for me. What a way to start my day. I lack nothing. It's the next verse. Read it, pray it. And my honest prayer to God would be, God, I don't always feel like I lack nothing. God, help me to follow you in such a way where I am so satisfied in you that I can declare I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, maybe here today, and you would pray this, God, I don't even know really what that means, but help me to lie down in green pastures. I've prayed it this week, these last 2 years, I've prayed that verse of God, I thank you, your mercy in these last 2 years, in the hardest years of my life, you made me lie down. When I thought I had nothing left, God, you made me lie down. What a gift of your mercy. In the green pasture of your presence in your word. Oh, when I found out that my soul wasn't yet satisfied in you. He leads me beside quiet waters. God, I thank you that in the chaos and the noise of the world that I can find quietness in you. He refreshes my soul. Holy Spirit, today, refresh my soul. I'm anxious, I'm fearful. Oh, refresh my soul. He guides me along the right path. God, help me to follow you. Your paths are the right paths. How often I want to follow my path or the easier path. But God, that I'd follow your right path today. For his name's sake, God, that my life, Holy Spirit, that my life would give you glory. And then we get to verse 4. Y'all still with me? Yeah. We get to verse 4. And up until this point, it sounds like David's life is always only awesome. It's green pastures and quiet waters, and it sounds like his leadership is great, and it sounds like his marriage is great, and his kids are great, and his finances are abounding. But the next verse reminds us that much of David's life was not great. In fact, much of David's life was dark. And this is where I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to sit as a church family today. David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, church, sometimes the right path will take me through the dark valleys. Even when I have in my view a sunnier, easier path, There are times that the shepherd, there are times that this Christian life will lead me through a valley. And we cannot forget this Christian life is following Jesus is full of even those. David doesn't say, if I walk through suffering, if I walk through the valley, if I walk through pain. He says, even though I walk. Which means sometimes the green pastures that he provides are only found in the even though. Which means the right path that he guides me on sometimes is through the valley, not around it. Church, life is full of even those. Even though I will suffer, even though I will experience pain, even though I will mess up, even though people will betray me, even though I will fail, even though I will fall, even though I will face disappointment, even though I got myself into this mess, even though the enemy will attack. David gives us insight, when the Lord is our shepherd, we will walk through dark valleys. Which is interesting to me because David just said, he makes me lie down. But now he says, I'm walking. How do I walk and lay down at the same time? Could it be that while I walk through the darkest valley, my soul can lie down? That I can find refuge and walking even when the darkness overwhelms me. David says, I walk. This walking is challenging to me. It's interesting to me because of the location of David's walking. David is walking in the dark, the darkest valley. What is this dark valley that David is speaking of? It is the shadow of death. This is a place many of us in this room, we know well. It is not just physical danger. But this darkest valley, it includes psychological terror, the chaos of the unknown, and the spiritual attack of the enemy. It is the shadow of death that carries with it profound darkness. Church, hear me. David is walking through in the natural, one of the scariest places to venture through. Y'all with me? David is walking through in the natural, one of the scariest places to venture into. Church, when I'm scared, it's hard to walk. When I'm scared, I want to run. One of the greatest examples of this in my life is taking out the trash. I remember being in middle school and in high school, I still take the trash out today, by the way. But I remember these moments when I was in middle school and I would always forget to take out the trash till it was like 11:30 at night and the moon's phase was just gone and so it was just no light. And so I had to walk. It wasn't as much that I was scared walking with the trash can to the end of the curb. But it's once you get to the end of the curb and the moment that I let go of the trash can, all evil breaks loose over my life. And it's running. Y'all with me? And every time I would let go of that trash can, it would start with a walk. And I tried to walk from the trash can to the front door. But in fear, it would turn into a brisk walk. And in fear, it would turn into a frightful frolic. And in fear, it would turn into an all-out sprint to the front. The fastest 40 I ever ran was from the trash can to the front door. It's hard to walk when you're scared in the dark. And yet David says, when life is dark, walk. Walk through it. Church, it is so important we don't miss the location of David's walking. Where is David walking through? The darkest valley. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, it is not just dim. It's not just dark. It is the darkest of valleys. There are people in this room, and you know what it is to face the dim valley. There are people in this room, and you know what it is to face the dark valley. And there are people in this room, and you know what it is to face the darkest of valleys. And what do? We walk. David's saying dark valleys are not for camping. They're for walking through. Dark valleys aren't for running. They're for walking through. Church, what is your pace today? There is only one problem I have with walking in the dark, and that is that you can't see. And yet David is talking as if he can. And as I was praying over this scripture, I was reminded, the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There is a light in King Jesus that defeated the darkest of valleys and defeated death. There is a reason death only has a shadow. It's because it was defeated by the light of Christ. So church, how do we walk in the darkest valley? How do we walk through? How do we see? It is the word of God. His word is a light. His word is a lamp. It is a lamp that guides my step, each step in front of me as the shepherd leads me. Many of us can't see today because we are not in his word. And if you're in a dark valley today, friend, I've been there. I know what it is to feel overwhelmed in profound darkness. These last 2 years, the enemy came after me and he almost won. And maybe it feels like you've not laid down in green pasture today, but you've been laid down in defeat and fear and anxiety, and you're running, striving, and suffering. Can I encourage you today? You have a good shepherd to pick you up. And it's time to start walking again. It's time to start walking again. The call of a disciple of Christ who follows the good shepherd is, I'm walking through. Pick up your lamp again. Pick up your lamp again. Walk by faith and not by sight. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm just walking through. Challenges me. Just challenges me that David's walking. How is it he's able to walk? Because of what he says next, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Church, I wonder, what do you fear today? What do you fear today? In the natural, I fear some things. I'm scared of spiders. In our household, Brooke deals with the spiders. I deal with the snakes. I don't really fear snakes, but spiders are demonic. Now, every time I talk about this, I need a preface, because some of y'all church people are crazy and you think it's going to be a funny idea to get a spider and bring it within close proximity of me. Church, hear me. I'll cut you. I know that's funny, but maybe you don't fear spiders today. Maybe you fear tomorrow. Maybe you fear the outcome of a medical test. Maybe you fear tonight is another night of no sleep and anxiousness. Maybe you fear the safety of your children in this crazy world. And David says, I don't fear evil. How? How? Church, make no mistake, there is evil in the valley. David acknowledges that evil is present. He says, I just don't fear it. And the word that David uses here for evil, it encompasses all calamity. David is revealing that every source and example of evil and darkness and suffering, there is no evil excluded from what I don't fear. How? How is it that David, in the darkest of valleys, fears no evil with what he says next? For you are with me. So how, in the face of every evil, how is it if we don't fear it, how, in the face of profound darkness, how is it that David has no fear? David says, for you are with me. Church, do you realize who's with you today? I don't know that we do. Do you realize who is with you today? I remember when I went from middle school to high school. In middle school, I went to a Christian private school. I didn't do so well there. And I went to public school for high school. And thankfully, I was planted in our church in youth ministry, so I had great Christian friends that really helped me with peer pressure in a good way. Can I get an amen? But when I went to First Colonial High School down the street, I didn't really know anybody yet. And I was maybe 5'6 at this time in my life. My growth spurt was 5'9. Praise God. And I remember walking through the hallways of First Colonial, and I was very shy and very timid. If I'm being honest, I was scared. I didn't know anybody. The fights at public school, they're a little different than at Christian school. I would avoid these fights. And then I met a young man by the name of Davey Dvorsky, who was leading worship today. And for whatever reason, Davey wanted to be my friend. And I found out pretty quickly that because I was Davey's friend, nobody messed with Davey. Davey was 6'3". His NBA height's like 6'8". And I began to realize that people knew that I was now friends with Davey. So people didn't want to mess with me because they knew if they had to mess with me, they had to mess with Davey. And everybody knew Davey. Davey knew how to fight. So now I'm walking around the hallways of First Colonial High School a little bit different. I'm walking around like I'm 6'4". It felt good. I'm trying to start fights. Not so that I could fight them, because I know Davey will. Even when Davey wasn't at school, people still didn't mess with me because they know who I was associated with. They would still have to mess with Davey. What changed for me? I understood who was with me. Church, do you know who is with you today? The Creator of the heavens and the earth is with you. The Holy Spirit of God, the same power that conquered the grave, is in you. Do you understand who is with you? When you walk out of this service today, and maybe you walk right back into that darkest of valleys, do you understand who is walking alongside you? I fear no evil because I know who is walking with me. The Lord is my shepherd. When the Lord is my shepherd, I fear no evil, no sickness, no person, no diagnosis, no economy, no government. I walk through it all. And I'm not running in fear. I'm walking in faith because of who's walking with me. Church, we don't fear evil. We fear God. We're simply in awe of Yahweh. And when I fear God, this funny thing happens. When I fear God, nothing else scares me. Because he's with me. So no matter what valley, no matter what path, no matter what devil, when the Lord is our shepherd, the evil in the dark valley is put into its correct category, defeated. There is no evil, there is no darkness, not even death, because the one who defeated death is with me. So if we're fearful today, and church, I've been there. If we're fearful today, maybe I've just forgotten who's with me. Church, amen. The most important question I ask again today is, the Lord your shepherd? Are you walking with the shepherd? Maybe today you've been running on your own. Maybe today you've been running from the good shepherd. I got good news. The shepherd will leave the 99 just for you. Maybe you are laid down flat on your back in defeat. It's time to start walking with the shepherd again. Where he's leading, he's guiding. And as I close, church, catch this, wherever he takes me, whether it's the mountaintop, whether it's through the darkest of valleys, there is rest, there is pasture, and it is a calm walk that my soul, church, please hear me, that my soul can be calm. I wonder, is your soul calm today? I know what it is. For my soul to be weary, I know what it is for my soul to be anxious. Oh, and the mercy of God and where he's led me these last 2 years is, I know what it is for my soul to be calm even when I am surrounded by darkness. That your soul can be calm. Because it is satisfied in only